Yeah, let's go ahead and make sure we finish this thing strong. Going to the weekend strong. Leave it all out there. Welcome back. Hour number three of three. I'm Jim Rome. We're live in Southern California. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up next segment, a member of the world champion New England Patriots, defensive lineman Lawrence Guy. But we start hour number three by talking some college basketball. We're joined by a forward for Gonzaga. 20 points. He had a monster game. 20 points, 16 rebounds, 5 blocks, and a couple of assists in that win over San Francisco last night. He broke the school's single-season record for blocks last night, averaging 16.5 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 2 assists per game this season. He leads the nation in shooting percentage. Gonzaga is number 4 in both polls. They're 22-2 on the year. They're 9-0 in conference. They're at home against St. Mary's tomorrow night. Brandon Clark is my guest. Brandon, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Hello, Jim. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great. It's great to have you. I appreciate you doing it. Listen, I mentioned you had a monstrous game last night. You had a double-double. You had 5 blocks. Your 16 rebounds were the most in school history in a game at the Kennel. Let me start right there. How proud were you not only of how you played, but how the entire team played last night?
Yeah, you know, I was just super, super proud, really. You know, it was a really fun game to play in. I just feel like our team energy was really good that night. I feel like everything was just clicking. Our defense was really good as a team, as a whole. And it was just a really, really fun night. And I was actually lucky enough to break a couple of records that night.
You did. In fact, your 5 block shots last night gave you 74 on the year, which is a new school record for block shots in a single season. And on top of that, obviously, you got a lot of time left this year. When you look at the big men who have come through that program, what's it mean to see your name on top of that list?
Yeah, you know, it just means so much to me. There's been so many great bigs here, you know, just so many great players. So just to have my name up there with them just means so much to me. You know, it's just something that I'll never forget and something that I'll always keep really close to me.
Brandon Clark joining us. So what's the secret to being a great shot blocker? For example, how much of that is about size and athleticism, and then how much of that is about timing and positioning?
Yeah, you know, I just really just say timing. I've always been pretty good at it, but as I got taller and I got stronger so I could jump higher, it just kind of made it, you know, a lot easier for me. But definitely timing is the main thing in blocking shots.
Yeah, it seems to me also, Brandon, there's a thing also, there's like a mentality, right? The other thing is you've got to be fearless, especially in the age of Twitter and Instagram, because if you get dunked on, that's going to show up everywhere. And you showed that fearlessness against Tennessee with maybe the block of the year. What do you remember about that play, and how important is it to have that fearlessness in your game?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Paul is a very, very good athlete. He can jump really high, so, I mean, obviously kind of scary having to jump up with a guy like that. But, you know, I have trust in my jumping, too. So I just trust myself. I trust my teammates that, you know, they got my back. So, you know, I'll always jump for them, and I'm sure they'll always jump for me, too. So
that was the block of the year. That's an amazing play. We just ran that on CBS Sports Network if you're watching. Now, you beat a really good San Francisco team by 30 last night. You know, for most teams, that'd be a huge night. But for you guys, Brandon, it's like pretty much what you do. You're winning conference games by an average of 29 points. How much are you guys looking to make a statement every time you step on the court, and not just about where you are in conference, but where you stack up with the best teams in the country?
Yeah, you know, Coach is just always telling us how, like, every night we have to go and, like, make a statement. And I feel like last night we did that. You know, like you said, we've been winning almost every game by 30. So, you know, that's just kind of getting us ready for the future, getting us ready for the tournament. And you know, we're just taking it one game at a time, and we're just trying to make a statement every game pretty much.
Gonzaga's Brandon Clark joining us. Now, you started your college career at San Jose State. You had a really good thing going there. You were all conference. You had already established yourself as a defensive force. What was it about Gonzaga that made you feel like that would be a good spot for you?
Yeah, no, it was lots of things, really, but mainly I would probably say the redshirt program. I was really trying to find a college where I could really just, like, hone in and focus on my shooting and my strength, which is two things that I've really showed, I feel like. So, you know, just really hats off to the coaches and to Travis Knight for really giving me a chance and for helping me change my game and my body to help me be a much better player.
You know, you touched on it, but what about that redshirt year? What's that like? For instance, you were doing things like running up and down the stairs with a sandbag on your shoulders. Yeah. What was that like for you physically and mentally, and especially the entire year?
Yeah, you know, it was hard, really. You know, my team was off playing games, and like you said, I was up running up and down stairs with a sandbag on my back instead of playing. You know, it was just lots of workouts, lots of extra lifts on top of practice and the workouts that I already had. So, you know, it was hard. You know, it was hard having to sit at the end of the bench every game. But, you know, it was still good for me because I kind of felt like it got that fire going in me again. And it really had me want to come out, you know, just to prove to the world that I could play. So,
you know what? It's a really unique program. It's an amazing program. And as part of that year, I would imagine, you start to learn the Gonzaga way of doing things. How would you describe what that way is and what life is like as a Zag?
Yeah, I just say for like a player here and being like a player in the program, I feel like there's just like a natural swag here of winning games, which is something that I didn't really have at San Jose State. So I feel like that's really just based off of Coach View, Coach Tommy, just doing such a great job throughout the years, making it so Gonzaga is just always, you know, just a really good team. And I just feel like it's kind of like a swag that they've gotten going the past like 20 years now.
Hey Brandon, I've known Mark Few for about 20 years, and he's always been one of my favorite guys. I really hold him in really high regard. For so long, he and I, you know, I used to talk about it, and then it wasn't really something funny anymore, but it was always like, when are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And he made it clear that I don't have to go anywhere. I can accomplish everything I want to accomplish right where I am, and certainly he's done that. He's built a monster right there. What's he like to play for?
Pardon me? What do I like to play for?
Yeah, no, what's Mark Few like to play for?
Oh, you know, Coach View is a great, great coach, first off. One of the best coaches ever, period. He's just really clear with what he wants from his players, which kind of, you know, really, really helps us just, you know, go out and play hard every night. You know, he keeps it super real with us, too. You know, so that just makes it much easier to play for him. He's really easy to play under, too. So that just makes, you know, playing for him and winning games that much more fun.
Brandon Clark, my guest. Before I let you go, you're in a position right now where you're getting a lot of run as a potential National Defensive Player of the Year. And at the same time, I know a lot of your fans were angry that you were not included on the Wooden Award Top 20 last season watch list. Did that bother you? Did you get any kind of motivation or juice or fuel from that?
Maybe a bit, yeah. I'm not really a big accolade guy. I just kind of like to go out and, you know, try to win every night. Is it cool to see my name up there? Yeah. But it does add maybe a bit of fire. But, you know, I'm not really that big on accolades. I'm just really trying to win games, to be honest.
I know it. You're part of a team that's got nominees for the Cousy Award, the Wooden Award, the National Defensive Player of the Year Award. You're a part of a big three in the front court that is loaded with NBA talent. So, in other words, this team is good. This team is good. Does it feel like it's Final Four good or even National Championship good?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, we have just so much offensive firepower. Our defense at the start of the year wasn't all that great, but we've been really focusing on that during practice. And I feel like it's been showing during games. But I feel like that we have every piece that it takes to win a championship this year. So I feel like if we just keep working that, it's a very possible thing for us.
All right, so finally, as long as you and I are being real, Josh Perkins is a finalist for a number of awards, including the Cousy. But be real. What's he like as a Fortnite player? Is he the best Fortnite player on the team or you?
It's definitely me. I mean, playing with Perk is actually really fun. It's funny because he's not the best, but he, like, does what's best for the squad. You know, if he gets a gun that's, like, really good, he knows to, like, give it to a player that's better than him. So it's kind of like just, like, on the court, I guess. He's a really good passer, and, you know, he just makes his teammates better. So I feel like it's kind of like that in Fortnite, but he's definitely not better than me, though.
Good. We set the record straight. I'm glad we got that straight. He leads the nation in shooting percentage. He is breaking records. He broke the school's single-season record for blocks last night. Gonzaga is number 4 in both polls. They're 22-2 overall, and they're at home tomorrow night against St. Mary's. Brandon Clark, my guest. Brandon, great job. Really nice to have you on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Great talking to you. Brandon, have a great day. Really nice talking to you. Appreciate you. And Gonzaga. Mark Few is one of the best coaches I've seen in any sport. And the fact he made that clear, when nobody thought, when everybody back in the day was always looking for the next thing, the better opportunity, the better paycheck, the better chance to win, the big thing, Mark Few would always say, I'm not going anywhere. I don't need to. Why? Why? Why do I need to go? And the thinking always was, yeah, well, he'll go. He'll go. Wait till UCLA calls. Wait until this major, major power in this major conference. And he never left, and he's built a behemoth, an absolute monster right where he is. An amazing coach. Couldn't respect it anymore. And I got more than a few of these. Dear Jimmy, great interview with FBI Mike. Didn't know dude could ball. Wore sausage, egg, and cheese on a biscuit. Seth in Western Mass. There's that. Also, Matt in Vancouver. Great interview with Groose.
Jim Rome Show.
That's the voice of Groose. Andrew Groose.
Jim Rome Show.
Worked on this show. Groose was an extremely dedicated employee of the XR4TI. Groose was like, let me see, if you want to look at Groose's tail of the tape, he was like 9'10", 485 pounds. Groose was huge.
Jim Rome Show.
That's why he sounds like that. And he was super motivated and dedicated. And he was a young guy who went like 9'10", 485. And he'd pick up the phone, Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome Show.
I'm like, Groose, you're scaring him to death, man. Relax. I know you can't change the fact that you're 9'10", 485. But can you not scream at the callers? And he'd say, that's just the way I sound, boss. I'm like, Groose, now you're scaring me, bro. Take it easy. I'm not kidding you. Like 9'10". Not 9'10 in the morning. 9'10". Groose was the biggest employee we've ever had. Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome Show.
That's Matt in Vancouver resetting to Groose. Groose was still in the business. I'm not sure where he is right now. He may be in San Antonio. He may be in San Antonio. Lawrence Guy, Patriots defensive lineman. Always good to have a pad on. That doesn't happen very often. We will have that, and I'm looking forward to it. He's got a really good story. He's a Super Bowl champion. Lawrence Guy joins me when we come back. Albie's week that was, bottom of the hour. ATP still ahead. Fighting my sinus infection, and now the thermostat. Thermostat's winning here in the studio. I did not chase that greasy sando. I stopped. I'm happy I did. Stay with it. Lawrence Guy joins me when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's been an awesome Friday. Good day. Really good day. Welcome back. Not done yet, though. As I always say, make sure you finish strong. Going to the weekend strong. Earn whatever it is you're doing on a Friday night. We are going to talk some Patriots football momentarily. We are efforting a defensive lineman for the Super Bowl champion, Pats, Lawrence Guy. And that's coming up momentarily. Meantime, I can get you in here now. 1-800-636-8686. One thing I didn't want to save time for is Alvin's week that was. The week after the week, and it was a good week. Alvin is putting the finishing touches on that. The Ask the Pros segment is coming up momentarily. One thing that I want to get to, Central Cali a topic. Robin Lopez taking a run at it. And I'm going to try and get there too. As promised, we are joined now by a defensive lineman for the Patriots. He is a Super Bowl champion. He had a couple of tackles and a hurry in Sunday's Super Bowl win over the Rams. He had a career high, 59 tackles and a sack and a forced fumble in the regular season. He played his college ball at Arizona State. He was the 233rd pick in 2011. Really an amazing story. We are joined by Lawrence Guy. Lawrence, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm great. It's really good to visit with you. It's been a few days since you won the Super Bowl and the parade. So let me ask you, how is life for you as a Super Bowl champion? Has it sunk in, and does it feel the way you thought it would?
Oh, it's amazing. And it sunk in once we got on to the parade float. It's one of those things that you always dream about, but once you get to live it, it's like, man, this is a great memory. I'm going to cherish this for the rest of my life. And then the next couple of days, people were like, how was the parade? I'm like, over a million plus people showed out to honor us, so it was amazing. So it is constantly this joyful days waking up, remembering the events happening.
Lawrence Guy joining us. I'll tell you what, from the outside looking in, it looked like it was a blast. And talking to you right now, it sounds like it was a blast. Before we get into the Super Bowl and what it's like to be a champ, let me ask you, you and the defense came into that game with an incredible game plan for stopping the Rams' offense. As you were scouting them, what did you see and what was your mindset as a defense going into that game?
All we thought about was if we play good technical football, we play together as a unit and we put everything out on the line, that we were going to come out with a win. Didn't matter what you was throwing at us, and we knew if we eliminated the big plays, any play that they did get, go to the next play and continue to play hard, that the outcome was going to be good for us. And, you know, we have faith in our offense to score points and do everything they can to maintain the clock. So we just went out there and it was like, hey, we know what they're going to do. We know we have to stop the run. We have to get pressure on the quarterback. And we got to just make the game disruptive for everybody, and that's what we did.
Patriots defensive lineman Lawrence Guy is joining us. Rams offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth said after the game he felt like you guys completely changed your tendencies and your schemes for the game. Is that what happened, and did you feel like the Rams and Jared Goff in particular were maybe a little bit confused?
Well, each game, you game plan, right? So with this game, we had a game plan for this for that game, like we did the previous week coming up. But I just felt like when we went out there, we understood what was going on. And when they adjusted, we adjusted. It wasn't we were stuck in one little idea, like this is what we're going to do. We adjusted as they adjusted. If they figured something out, we were going to change it up on the sideline and put more pressure or take it off. Just to continue to confuse what was going on. And it sounds like what he's saying, looks like that's exactly what happened. But, you know, with our defense, every player can play multiple positions, and that's the best thing about it. We had a player, we had Patrick Chung go down, we had somebody else come in. So the best thing about how we played is it didn't matter where you lined up, you can line up anywhere and play good football, and that's exactly what we do each week out.
Lawrence Guy joining us. That's so true, right? When Chung went down, he is so important to that defense and such a leader on that defense. And you guys kept right on rolling. Your teammate Kyle Van Noy said after the game, quote, "We don't got stars. We got elite football players," end quote. I mean, it might not be a team that's loaded with household names, but just how well do those pieces on that defense fit together and make for a special group?
You see it in the play. He made a perfect comment because that's exactly what we are. We compete with each other each week out. So you'll see, like you saw at the beginning of the season, that we're consistently building a relationship with the new players and the players that was on for the previous year. We keep building that relationship, and we keep growing together each play at a time, each practice at a time, for every little piece in there matches. It's like playing the chess game. You can use every piece on the board, and that's what we do. We utilize every player on our team, and we go out there and we play good, compatible football. It doesn't matter if you're on the left, on the right, you're in the middle. If that's your job, you're great at that job. If your job is to get pressure in the middle and that's all you do the whole game, we know you're going to get pressure every single play that you're in. And that's what's so good about it, that we could constantly could change roles and understand that we're going to be compatible with the person next to us because we got that relationship that we built.
Patriot Lawrence Guy is a Super Bowl champion. You know, when you lay it out like that, you're talking about, I think, in effect, the Patriot way. And I think you can speak to this because your journey to get where you are is amazing in the sense that you were drafted in the 7th round by the Packers, and then you spent some time on their practice squad, and then the Colts signed you, and then the Chargers, and then the Ravens, and then the Patriots. I mean, it would have been easy for you to give up at some point along the way, but you never did. How come, and what kept you going?
Well, those are one of the things that this was my dream. And I wasn't going to be denied with it. My wife was a big supporter of that, and she helped push me throughout the way. But when you have a goal of trying to be the best you can in that job that you're doing, and nothing could hold you back. And that's what my whole mindset was nobody going to tell me that somebody else was going to be better than me, or I did not belong in this league, or I didn't belong on a team. So every single year, I train harder, study more to get where I'm at. And as long as you have that ideal in your mind and that goal set, you could accomplish anything in life. It doesn't matter how many times somebody tells you no. Like, I'm a perfect example of what I went through. How many times people kept telling me, no, no, you're not going to make it. Well, you're not good enough to be on this team. Well, if we want somebody else, they just put that drive in you. Like, well, I'm going to keep doing it until I force my way into this. And that's pretty much what my whole idea was. I forced my way into it and started growing more and more so I could accomplish to what I have accomplished today.
Patriots defensive lineman Lawrence Guy joining us. The thing is, and it's if it were just football, that'd be pretty amazing in and of itself, but it's not just football. One of the things that's been a major part of your journey is the fact that you've been an advocate for students with learning difficulties. I want to get into your role as an advocate in a minute, but can you take me back? When you were a student growing up in Las Vegas, what was school like for you?
Oh, you know, it was challenging. Trying to get the basics of everyday activities in the classroom and stuff like that. It was a challenge for me because dealing with what I had to go with my learning challenges. So actually, sports was the thing that helped me out because it helped me get the repetitive motion down to how I needed to learn in the classroom and to put it that on the field or on the mat or whatever I was doing at that time. So it was a challenge, you know, and every single day, every year was a new challenge. I had a goal to get, and every time I succeeded that goal, I just put another one ahead of me, and I did that over the years to get where I'm at and to get what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to go to college, so I had to put that goal that I needed to get to college, and when I got to college, I was like, I need to stay in college and continue to grow and get a high GPA, and that's exactly what I did.
All right, so what happened here? Like, early on, maybe you weren't exactly sure what was going on, or the teachers did not really know what to do with you, but when you arrived at Arizona State, they did some tests, and they identified the challenges, and then you started to kill it academically. You got a GPA of 3.5. You got the title of Scholar Baller. What was it like to finally have everything identified and then to be able to transform your educational experience as a result of knowing what you were dealing with?
It was good because we knew I had ADD and learning challenges throughout elementary, middle school, and high school because I had all of my documents. My grandma's a special ed teacher, and my dad jumped on it immediately when I was younger. So we knew that we didn't have a name for what it was until I was leaving college and going to the NFL, where we found the building, the DRT offered the test, and they actually put names on them because it's a very expensive test to get. So when they offered it for free, and they're like, hey, these are the tests that we could do, I did those tests and got the name of what it was, where I could just have a name to it. But that didn't happen until later on, and it kind of clicked on why everything was happening a certain way. But like earlier in college, It took me an opportunity to take advantage of these resources when I had to have a talk with my dad and the academic advisors telling me, hey, we might need some extra help. Don't be shy to get the extra help. And I got out of my bubble like, you're right. Need the extra help. I don't need to sit here and have this stigma in my mind of, well, everybody sees me going to this building getting tutoring sessions, or I get extra time, or I get this. Once I got that out of my mind and took advantage of those resources, have every tutor I known to man that could help me, is to help me understand how they picked up stuff and took apart, how they did it and utilized it, and how I learned stuff, I became successful in the classroom. And I became that scholar baller, and I became that advocate to other athletes to tell them, hey, it's not a problem that you might learn a little bit differently, you might need a little bit more help, but
get the help. And nobody's going to look at you differently. And once they started doing that, once I started doing that, it, like, you see the growth in everybody. And I saw the growth in myself as how I was in everyday life.
Yeah, so really quickly, it's such a key point. It's really important. An advocate to other athletes, but to other people. For instance, if somebody's listening right now and they're dealing with some of the challenges that you have faced, what would you say to that person?
I would say this. If you're younger, talk to your parents. They'd be the first resource that you could have. Your parents could go out there and help you out. If you're older, talk to your professors. Find the counselors. Find anybody that can have an idea of where you could go to. And it might not be the first time around where they exactly know where to go, but if you consistently want to get better at what you need, you're struggling with, nothing hurts to ask. And the only thing that hurts is not to ask and to feel like somebody might judge you, because nobody's going to ever judge you for asking. You're only going to better yourself. And if anybody that is judging you about asking for help or anything, you shouldn't be around that person anyway, because they're not trying to help you out through your life and get you to grow.
Patriots defensive tackle Lawrence Guy with some great advice. Last thought, a couple of weeks back, and I appreciate you sharing that story. You and your wife, Andrea, had the ultimate baby gender reveal at Gillette Stadium, complete with fireworks and the entire stadium being lit up blue. How did that come about, and then what was it like knowing that your second child is going to be a boy?
Oh, it was amazing. So we was going for a big gender reveal, because the first one we didn't do was a gender reveal. We did went to some ultrasound, and I remember asking her, like, maybe we should reach out to the Patriots to see if we could do it at the stadium. And they were like, yeah, we should try. So we reached out to Donna, head of community relations, and say, hey, is there any way that we can do the ginger ale on the field after the AFC championship? And they're like, well, it's a way. So we could do it the next week if we win. I'm like, cool. So once we won, that we set it up, gave her the paper, and she pretty much set everything up in the facility for us. And all we did is we had to show up, and she was like, it was amazing. So she told us she had the paper for about a few days, and she was like, only three people knew, because we wanted to get her around the building. And she was like, we're just going to sit here. We set up the fireworks, did that, and had some songs playing at the end of the reveal. And they was like, it's the biggest thing everybody could see, you know. And everybody around the Patriot place was solid, and they was wondering what was going on. But when it got posted in the news media, news crews were actually out there finishing up their daily interviews and saw it in the background, it became a big thing. And me and my wife were just thrilled. And having a boy is awesome, because I got a girl and a boy now. So, you know, everything else is great.
Dude, you got yourself a girl, you got yourself a boy, you've got yourself a ring. You are living the best life. Lawrence Guy, New England Patriots defensive lineman, joining us. Lawrence, really good to have you on the show. I appreciate you. I appreciate the conversation, and really good to talk some Patriots football and more with you, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Lawrence Guy, Patriot D lineman. Great story. Really good information, too. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. I know I did. Appreciate him and his folks making that happen. When we come back, Alvy's week that was. You know, I was pretty fat and pretty late for the first two updates. So why not make the third one late too? I'm all in. But I did choke it off after that one greasy Sando. How about the rest of you fellas? Did you guys stop? Got the ATP. Ask the Pros where I answer your question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This is from Bacon in South Detroit. Jim, all this talk about Snickers and Skittles has me wondering what your go-to movie snack would be. Unwar carrot sticks and celery with hummus. Signed, Bacon in Detroit or South Detroit. Dude, you know what's so weird about that? I've been smashing hummus all week. I don't know why. It's just what's in my refrigerator. I don't even like it that much. Like, I like it sort of, but not that much. I've been smashing it every single day after work. But not with celery and carrot sticks. With bread. All right, so what's my go-to movie snack? Easy. Vodka. Like one of those theaters where they serve cocktails. Vodka. Maybe some popcorn. I'm not about the other life. I'm not about the Raisinette life or Goobers. I've got all the Snickers and Skittles I need at the place of employment. I sneak them in. Man, that's a reason to go. You ever try and sneak anything into a movie theater? Man, that is a reason to go. I mean, you're treated better if you show up at a bank with a gun and a ski mask than if you try to go into a movie theater with Snickers under your shirt. That is a reason to go. I tried that once. I tried to bring in a cup of coffee, like from Starbucks, and some zit-faced kid's like, "Whoa, easy, Tiger." I'm like, "What, man? You can't do that. You can't bring that in here." Brad Turner from the LA Times tweets, "Magic Johnson to meet with Laker players in wake of Anthony Davis trade saga." So he's going to go to Philadelphia to meet with the team. And according to the article, quote, "Johnson will listen to every player who wants to speak, hoping to have an open dialogue with his team so they can all move forward together." Have fun with that, Irv. What's he going to say? Hey, y'all. Sorry that I was unable to bring AD here. I can't wait for the open dialogue. You know, all those young guys are going to be like, "Yeah, I got a question. Why does LeBron hate us? Why is LeBron trying to trade all of us? Why has LeBron made it clear he'd rather play 2-on-5 with he and AD?" Hey, in their defense, man, they showed up last night. They came together. They played great. Like, if they had laid down last night the way they did against the Pacers, I'd think there's a real problem. I'm not saying that's going to save their season, but that was big last night, the way they came together. Alvy, do you still have time? Then go ahead and do what you do, Alvy, the week that was. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. And again, I am back. I'm looking for telephone calls. We had our broadcast from Radio Row. And give me this. A little congested, right? In my head, my sinus. I can't hear myself. Can't feel myself thinking. I'm not responsible for what comes flying out of my pie hole today. But that might not have been the greatest game ever, but that was the greatest coaching performance ever.
And the Patriots have won.
Patriots outplayed them. Patriots outclassed them. Patriots outcoached them. Patriots out-executed them. Deserve to win that game. Period. Robert Klemko is my guest.
Belichick is honestly as advertised. Probably walking out thinking about how much he's going to have to pay some guy to repaint his boat from 7 rings to 8 rings.
We believe he'll, quote, bleep in his pants.
If every time you drop back, you were wearing Dante Hightower or Kyle Van Noy, you'd probably have a big dump in your pants, too.
Dump in your pants.
They started the game by going punt, punt, punt. The defense was on the field a hell of a long time. They had their shots, but unlike the Patriots, they simply did not cash them in.
Going to break out the Jag XJA today. Take the gambling winnings, head down to Lincoln, Rhode Island, One River Casino to parlay it.
Ben Vaughn is my guest.
Man, it's unbelievable. 4 out of 5 years they make it to the Super Bowl. 3 championships. Tom Brady keeping it going at 41 years old. We'll never see anything like this again.
Man, you want sad? You want pathetic? You want embarrassing? Do you know how many meals I had outside that hotel room? None. Zero.
Zero. Point.
Not one. I had room service every freaking meal. I've never done crack, and I'm going to imagine that's what crack is like.
Crack is whack.
That chocolate shake was amazing.
Amazing.
Chris Mack.
The cheesy roll-up weren't very rolled up. They weren't very fresh. They weren't very hot. Cheese wasn't melted.
What is your go-to sauce?
There's only one sauce I recommend, Jim. That would be the fire sauce.
Email.
Or AC Green crying after his first wrestling match.
Your clones are like your middle-aged loser, alcoholic, gambling, degenerate cousins that you normally don't talk to. But Rome, you're a good enough guy to shake my hand.
Noob, you brown-nosing little bitch.
He goes, hey, man, I think I saw you napping it out in the office. Pretty nice, huh? I said, maybe I'm a little overworked. He's like, ha-ha, aren't we all? Oh, dude, you think you work hard.
Golden ticket. Of course I'll take that.
Ah! You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror.
If I was a parent and had a kid who could play, and the coach came in and just told that story, I'm like, give me the pen.
Be a doll.
The guy who showed up on the set that you looked at and immediately knew why.
Jeff Hostetler.
Not Jeff Hostetler. Saquon.
Twitter.
You're looking for me to defend that prickly little a-hole David Stern. That's not going to happen.
Brandon Ingram in his third year out of Duke.
Ron's going to trade you.
Points last year in year two. Is it 17?
Ron's going to trade you. That is so cold. It's got to hurt because you know there's some truth to it. Damn. What the hell just happened across the street?
Definitely miss it. And I'll miss being on the show with you too.
Sorry, Romy. I can't come on the program anymore. I'm too busy doing the Tobias Harris deal. It's setting us up for the big summer. That's funny. Dana White joining us. Dana, you were pretty critical of Oscar De La Hoya for his involvement.
I've been telling you.
Dana, was that me or you?
No, yeah. I could tell a tough question was coming, so that's my new system for tough questions.
Jano, do you want to go to South Africa or not? Do you want that safari or not? Believe me, if I get a 2-for-1, you're going under the knife, too. If I get a 4-for-1, the kids will, too. Hey, Logan, you want to come back to school looking well-rested and refreshed?
Or Giannis pointing to the heavens at Monday night's victory and accidentally tickling the good Lord's feet.
That's some big West Jerry Tarkanian. That's the Dell Demps you're coming for. There should be a banner in the New Orleans rafters with Dell Demps' name on it.
Don't you ever
jack with the Big West.
For the win! He got it!
Magic and Pelinka could not beat the clock, so Rondo beat it last night.
Hey-o!
Does not make up for not getting Anthony Davis. But man, it could have been so much worse.
Shots fired.
A freaking sausage and egg McMuffin from McCracky's.
No! Don't let it happen. Go get some.
The game plan is
But there's always a Kit Kat sitting there screaming to you. Come and eat me.
Mark Stein is my guest.
He's leaving Boston once he gets a taste of what it's like to play for the Celtics. But that is, are you allowed to say ballsy on the radio? That
yes.
is a ballsy move to do that.
You know, it's ballsy saying ballsy on the radio.
He has made his choice about what hill he's willing to die on, and that hill is Dong Hill.
Super motivated and went like 9, 10, 485, and he picked up the phone. Jim Rome Show!
Jim Rome Show.
Can you not scream at the callers?
That's just the way I sound, boss!
Call a baller. Macho Man Randy Savage.
What's the Massachusetts?
What's the name of that restaurant?
Always good to be on, man.
I'm the dude.
Disappointing the dude.
Stop or Chris Stapp?
250-pound bear.
Oh, I know why athletes do roids. They work.
We need more dogs.
Oh, that's a cow.
Sandwich, bitch.
Bitch!
All right, thanks, Jim. The best to you.
Not monkey corn.
Jim, are you still there?
PhD in load management.
Meat mill.
What up, Decker?
That's horrible.
Good night now!
Alvin, that's amazing. That's amazing. Why don't you bring up Dana White's song? That'd be great. Do it. Do it. My thanks to Lawrence Guy of the Patriots, Brandon Clark of Gonzaga. That's how you send it into a weekend. Mark Stein, New York Times, NBA reporter. The XR4TI, but not the sandwich bitch that dropped that sandwich on my desk. Nearly wrecked my day, but I rallied. I didn't chase it with anything. All right, the week after the week was a great one. Hope you have an amazing weekend. Thank you all for listening. And I will see you right back here on Monday. Rock. See ya.